Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. This message came about because of a note that I received from a dear believer who had written a scripture on the bottom of the note. And that happens to me a lot. And I usually tell you when it happens. You know, somebody will pass along a scripture, whether it's on a note or sometimes people just say it, and they'll pass it along because it's a blessing to them. And then I'll go and read it, and it's a blessing to me, and the Lord will lead me to speak on it. It doesn't happen every time, but it happens sometimes, and I'm telling you that to say, pass scripture to each other. It can be a real blessing. Be a real blessing. Well, the scripture that was written on the bottom of this note was Psalm 107, verse 1. And I'm going to read this verse to you, and then I want to point out the one word that really grabbed me and made me want to preach from this morning. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." What a beautiful verse. Every word in that verse is glorious. It is glorious. I don't want to put one word above another word. I don't want to do that. Every word in that verse is glorious. But let me point out the one word that really got me. It's the word for, F-O-R. All right, I'll show you why. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." What should we do? We should give thanks. We do give thanks. We get to give thanks. Do you know that some people don't give thanks? But we're counted among the ones who get to. We have been made to. We have been called to it. What a privileged people. We get to give thanks. We do give thanks. We should give thanks. To who? The Lord. We give thanks unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Not to my mama because she this or my who it. Unto the Lord. It's all unto the Lord. Why? For He is good. That's why. That's why we give thanks to the Lord. It's because He is good. Now. Okay, here we go. Why is He good? Why? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good. Now, why is He good? The word "for" is in here twice. Both of them mean because. Why is the Lord good? It's because His mercy endureth forever. Now, does that strike you like it struck me? Here is the glorious truth that we're going to look at this morning. And here's the outline for our message. What? Oh, give thanks. To who? Unto the Lord. Why? For He is good. Now, why is He good? I've titled this message, Why is the Lord Good? Why is He good? It's because, for. It's because His mercy endureth forever. That's the reason why He is good. It's because His mercy endureth forever. So verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks. Worship involves a few different things. It involves a few different things, but mainly it involves giving thanks. Mainly. We gather together and we present ourselves before the Lord to give thanks. And we give thanks to Him because that's all that we have to give to Him. That's the reason we give thanks. It's all that we have to give to Him. That's all that we can give to Him. Thanks. I'm sure you've heard the saying before, give your heart to Jesus. I'm sure you've heard that. Won't you give your heart to Jesus? Let me tell you, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't give my heart to Him. The Scripture says it's dead. Scripture says it's stony. This is a cold, dead, stony heart. The Scripture says, in my flesh, I'm dead. A dead man can't do anything. A dead man can't give anything. The Scripture says, He had to take my stony heart. That's how it happened. He had to take it out of me so that He could put in a new heart of flesh. So I didn't give it. He had to take it. I'm sure you know the Scriptures. Many Scriptures say, give unto Him the glory due unto His name. I can't do that. Not in my flesh. Not in my flesh. I have never, honestly, I'm looking forward to doing it one of these days in glory once I'm rid of this flesh. I will give unto Him the glory due unto His name. But never, not one time in this flesh ever, have I given unto Him the glory that is actually due unto His name. I can't do that. He's owed it, but I can't do that. Because it is the only thing that has ever been solely produced by me, all right? This right here is the only thing that has ever been completely, solely produced by me. I would say that I gave Him my sin. But I didn't even do that. You know that, honestly. I didn't even do that. He willingly, of His own will, the Scripture says, it wasn't of my will. Of my own will, I didn't give Him my sin. The Scripture says, of His own will, of His own purpose, of His own desire, because He wanted to, He had to willingly take even that from me. He had to take my sin from me. I didn't give it to Him. He, of His own will, laid it on Himself. He took it and He laid it on Himself. So the fact of the matter is, He's the one who did all the giving. He's the one who does all the giving. He gave His life Once you give your life to Jesus, why don't everybody here dedicate their life to Jesus? We can't do that. He's the one who gave His life. He dedicated His life. He gave His body. He gave His blood. He gave His righteousness. I enjoyed so much yesterday. I entered into it like I never have before. I've known this. I already knew this. But I entered into it like I never have before, that you have a bride who comes down and is presented to her husband. And she is wearing white. And that represents the perfect, spotless, holy, pure, righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He gave to her. That's what He covered her in. He gave His, you know, He gave His blood to pay our debt. He gave His righteousness to sanctify us and purify us. He gave His holiness to us, holy and without blame. He gave His inheritance to us. He gave His place to us. Does it not amaze you that Ephesians 2 says that we are seated together with Him? Where does He sit? On the throne. You talk about humbling. He gave Himself. And when He gave Himself, He gave His all. He gave it all. He did all the giving. So even the thanks that is in my mouth and in my heart, even that thanks, He put it there so I could just give it back to Him. It is God which works in us both to will and to do. He said, Father, I give Thee thanks. That's what He said. Father, I thank Thee. I give Thee thanks. My spirit in my people cries out on their behalf. That's what Galatians 4 says. His spirit in us is crying out. Oh, give thanks. Because of that, we do. We do. We give Him thanks for everything that He's given to us and given for us. He gave His all to put away our sin, and we give Him thanks for that. So verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The one who has done this for us and the one who all of our thanks goes to is the Lord. Now here's my question. Who is the Lord? You know, we take that question for granted. We take that so for granted. Do you realize and do I realize how many people there are on this earth who do not know who the Lord is? This is life eternal, that we might know Thee. Who is the Lord? It just rolls off the tongue. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Well, who is the Lord? Do we know what the name Lord means? The name Lord means the sovereign. That's what it means. It means, the name Lord means the God. The God who actually is God. We could say, Oh, give thanks unto the God who actually is God. Specifically, that's who we're giving thanks to. The one who controls all things and reigns over all things. The one who has all power, all might, all strength, all ability, that's just reason enough to give thanks to Him. The one who is able to do what He wants with whom He wants. He is the one that we're giving thanks to. And who is that exactly? Who are we referring to exactly? Who are we speaking of exactly? His name is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who the Lord is. The Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Now unto the King eternal." Who is the King? Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That's who we're talking about. That's who we're talking about. Look with me at Jude chapter 1. Only one chapter in Jude, just before Revelation. Jude 1, verse 25. It says, "To the only wise God, our Savior." Who is our Savior? Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who we're giving thanks to. That's who we are very happily giving thanks to. "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." So go with me back to Psalm 107. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? "For He is good." I wrote in my notes, wonderful news, wonderful news, great news. This one that we're giving thanks to is the Almighty God of heaven and earth, who has all power, all control, all authority. He does what He wants with whom He wants. Whatever He feels like doing, that's what He does. And wonderful news, He's good. He's good. He does good. He is good. Look at verse 2. I love this. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Do we want to know the goodness of the Lord? Just enter into this. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. We entered this world captive to the adversary. Such were all of us. Our conversation, we were held captive to the prince of the power of the air, the children of disobedience, just like everybody else. And our Lord, our God, and our Savior redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Took us out of His hand and put us in His own hand. He redeemed us, and that means He paid the price in full. When you redeem something, you're paying the price in full. If you don't pay it in full, it's not redeemed. You can put it on layaway, but it's not redeemed until the price is paid in full. And He redeemed us from all of our sin by paying our price in full. What did it cost Him? It cost Him His own blood. It cost Him His own life. That ought to tell us just how in debt we were. It took the life and body and blood and everything of God manifest in the flesh to redeem us. What a debt. What a cost. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." That sounds like a sinner without Christ. Verse 6 says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." His goodness. "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help." That was His goodness to them. He brought them down. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." I love that verse. That's what He does. He sends His word and heals them and delivers us from our destructions. Verse 21 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." I told you this before, but I was watching a documentary one time of some deep sea fishermen, and they were out there working in a great storm. And this storm, the waves were just, I was afraid watching TV. Because it looked to me like these waves were going to wash all of their equipment off the boat. It looked like they were going to wash these men off the boat. And I thought, if they go off this boat, there's no getting them back. And one guy looked right at the camera and he said, "You don't believe in God? Come out here. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters," verse 23 says, "these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." Why do waves come like that? Well, it's because of, you know, God doesn't. "They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble." And I'll tell you that all of God's people feel these boisterous waves in life. Sometimes it just feels like we're just mounting up, being dropped down and reeling to and fro. Verse 27, "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." And how glorious it is when He says to all of our storms in life, "Peace, be still." And all of a sudden there's a great calm. Verse 30, "Then are they glad because they be quiet? So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He is good to every one of His sinful people that were given to Him to redeem." Now, why is He good? Why is this Almighty Sovereign God so good to His sinful people? Realizing that our flesh is in constant rebellion against Him. Our flesh is constantly sinning against Him. David, as a saved man, said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." You know, well, we don't sin and rebel against God anymore once you're saved. This flesh is nothing but sin and rebellion. That's all it is. Why would this sovereign God be so good to His sinful people? Why? One more time, look at verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." That is why He is so good. That's why He will never stop being good to His people. Does that do your heart good? Just listen to this. The Lord God will never stop being good to His people. Never. Never. His mercy endures forever. Every morning, it's brand new. Every morning, His great fountain of blood streams forth brand new. Every morning, the covering and the washing, the purging of mercy in His blood is brand new. Brand new. You know, I a long time ago, I took a shower and I got clean. And you know what I did? I made myself dirty again. And I took a shower, I got clean. And you know what I did after that? I made myself dirty again. And I took a shower and I got clean. And you know what this old wicked flesh did after that? I made myself dirty again. And the blood of Christ, the fountain of blood drawn straight from God's own veins, will never run dry. Plunged every morning. Plunged. That's the mercy. The mercy's in the blood. The mercy is in the blood. And every morning it is brand new. Every morning we wake up again spotless, clean as the Lamb Himself who shed it. You know what this old wicked flesh will do? Get dirty again. But you know what the blood will do? Cleanse us, purge us. David said, "Purge me again, cleanse me again." Where our sin abounds, His grace always much more abounds. His grace has abounded, His grace will abound. I love the song that says, "Dark the stain that soiled man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened. and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches, thank God, deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon His throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain is gone. That is His mercy to us. It's the covering of our sin in His own blood. And because it was the blood of the Almighty God Himself that paid our debt, He paid it so powerfully and He paid it so completely, there is no possible way our debt could ever return. There's no way we could stack up a debt against Him ever again. Washed, washed, clean, white. That's why He's good to us. That's the reason why. And that's why we give thanks to Him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.